The time has come where I'm joined now with Mokotron in the studio. How are you today?
Ka pai, tēnā koe, e te rangasira, tēnā koutou, tāmaki makaura, tāmaki whānui, tāmaki hirihiri, nā waka, tēnei te mihi kā koutou. Kia ora, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Kia ora and welcome up. You're familiar around these parts, but it's been a huge year for the Mokotron project, so congratulations firstly on the March release of United Tribes of Bass.
Oh man, what a long year.
Well, it feels like just yesterday that beautiful remix project came out. Yeah, and then just last week you announced Wairia releasing December 5th via Sun Return, and you dropped that hard-hitting debut single, Ohaki, both kind of sonically and emotionally, and a beautiful, beautiful video that came along with it in collaboration with James Barati and Simon Ward. So you talk about kind of the inspiration for Ohaki being that you wrote it soon after Queen Elizabeth's death. So when did you write Ohaki, and what was the kind of process like in making the composition?
Yeah, kia ora. So the Mokotron thing is part of a wider project. It's got three parts. The first is a course here in Māori Studies at the University of Auckland, Māori 230, and that's a teaching and creative-based course, transformative, decolonising. The second part is a music project, a predominantly creative project. It's called Mokotron. Mm. And the third part is the artwork that accompany both things. So my cover art for my course outlines are the same as my cover art for my albums, or EPs. My song titles, I mean, my songs are written based on my lectures, and then those song titles then become the names of the lectures. So it's kind of like, there's three parts to this. So when Queen Elizabeth died, I guess it was about 2 years ago, we were doing our creative projects in the class. And so my students did all, because the Queen had just died, they did a whole lot of creative projects. Most of them were quite illegal activities that I can't discuss on radio, but don't worry, they all got A+ full marks for those assignments. But I think it was on me to really, you know, it was what we were discussing in the class at the time, and I felt a real need to express my own perspectives about it. So I think I wrote that Waiata on the day she was buried.
Wow.
After we'd organised something of a protest up at the statue of her ancestor, Queen Victoria, across the road. It was done on auspicious days, shall we say, and just reflecting on that.
And on the composition, did you start off with the lyrics or with the production?
It started just with thinking, you know, what if she's gone, what's her ohaki, what did she say, what's her prophecy or vision for the future that she said on the day she died. I wrote the lyrics, and then it was pretty easy to write around that. You know, it had to be pretty heavy and pretty distressing. You know, you're talking about death, the passing of someone who was a kuia and kaumātua in another country. So, it kind of wrote itself. But also you can hear in that tune there's a big UK influence. That's what I'm trying to do.
The breaks. It's,
the bass lines everything. Like, I mean, it's funny, someone only just figured it out, I think it was this morning, what I've been doing for the last 4 years, which is so many of my tunes are built around a paradox, and that's intentionally done. So I wrote this criticism of the doctrine of discovery, which is the basis of racism in Europe, and so I wrote that as also musically a tribute to Kraftwerk.
Right.
Because I was like, here's a critique of Europe. Here's the best thing that ever came out of Europe. You know, Tato with Te Pō was responding to Western concepts of evil and femininity and the kind of stereotyping of the mana wahine as somehow evil in their tradition. So that Tato with Te Pō was about, you know, talking about darkness and woman as the source of all life. The song itself, I wrote it in a European, you know, kind of a hard European electro kind of model, particularly a Dutch model, because I'm like, where do you think those, you know, a lot of that violence comes from?
Yeah.
And this song was the same. It was, if I'm going to critique the British, why don't I use part of their culture to do it, you know? So that's something I've been doing all along and no one's even noticed, so.
yeah, that paradox not only in content but also you draw a lot of paradoxes with time, like you describing yourself as kind of this ancient futurism, these kind of oxymorons, like how does time kind of fit into the way that you write and think about the Mokotron project?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's also about collapsing time and just thinking about times, futuristic ancient times that don't exist that we're trying to reach, and also ancient futuristic times that we left behind. So, very much a collapsing of the binaries and also a complicating the binaries of being Indigenous in a city. So, these are all the kind of stupid ideas that go through my head when I'm writing songs and no one ever asked me about them, so I'm like, oh, it's just a song about something, but I'm glad someone brought it up.
I don't think they're stupid at all. I think the listeners at home definitely don't think that. So I think it feels very apt that Ōhaki is the lead single for a record with the name Wairia. Can you explain what Wairia means to you and kind of maybe who the intended audience is for this record? I guess, like, decolonization plays a massive part in this record and everyone has a part to play in this. So are the kind of maybe open questions or like the calls to action in Ōhaki directed at everyone or tricky, but...
Tricky. I think I have to be honest, I don't write music for anyone. I just write it for myself. And I mean, you got to see, like, me and Paraty started talking. I wrote the first song for this in 2012. That was 12 years ago.
Wow.
And me and Paraty worked on the idea of what Mokotron is in terms of this creature who was a Māori carving that comes to life as some sort of wooden robot. Like, that was 12 years ago. That was 2013 or 11. So all that time, like, no one's been listening to what I'm doing. And I don't care. And it doesn't matter because I wrote music for myself. So at this time, people are listening to it. That's cool. But it's still just for me, you know? So I just write music for me. I still did it for 10 years when no one listened to it. I'm doing it now when a few people are listening to it. And when people stop listening to it, I'll still do it. I guess it's, for me, writing Waiata is just a way of expressing how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking about and just a way of being healthy in life. So, I don't think all of that was written for me, and if anyone wants to listen to it, that's mean, but it doesn't really matter, you know. It's I've just got to focus on what's in my heart and what's in my head, and I think that's why people get into it, because I'm not trying to nail any particular audience. I'm not trying to nail a specific genre. I think that honesty and integrity actually, you know, it translates. So weirdly, by not concentrating on anyone, like, it seems to be grabbing people's attention. But to be honest, I think maybe there's one tune on there that I wrote just for the United Tribes of Bass release party, because I was like, everyone was sending me dubs, and I was like, well, I need a dub to kill everyone else's dub. So the second song on the album was written for... But even then, that wasn't for an audience.
Club Tool.
That was a club killer. That was more firing shots at my own friends and associates. Right. So they got that. But honestly, like, I just write. It's just a way for me to express myself. No intended audience. Yeah. If people want to listen to it, it's cool. I guess I'm talking about a lot about racism, colonization, death. There's a lot of death on that album. So there is a waiata for Ōtautahi on there.
Yeah.
But even that's not really written for them. That was me going to Ōtautahi and going to Littleton or Henehau and just hearing their stories and being inspired and just writing a response to them. But again, you know, they don't need to ever hear that. That was just me.
is that the final track on the record? Is that track 8 or?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, to be honest, it's kind of, I'm just trying to stay true to what my vision is and how I'm feeling, you know.
But that comes through in the originality. You can hear one of your tracks from a mile away. And that's something special that lots of artists can't say. Like, you know when a Mokotron track is coming in.
And that's the thing, eh? It's it's about staying true to what you do and not just following, you know. Yeah. Mm. But it's really cool. I just did a remix for a Wahine artist, and ooh, I can't tell you about it, but it feels like one of the best things I ever did. And I started it with a Mokotron intro, so you go, oh, it's just a normal Mokotron tune, and then this Wahine vocal comes in and it's totally different. I'm like, and every person I've played it to is like, they're kind of like, ha ha, I've heard this before, and then what the hell. Ooh. So and it's interesting. It's something you can play with, having that particular sound is also something that I can kind of undermine in a way, you know, or play against people.
Play tricks on, yeah, yeah. Like once people think they've figured you out, yeah, that's when they haven't. So let's talk about this video that came out on Friday that everyone has been kind of obsessing over. Oh, so yeah. Can you speak a bit on that, the collaboration process with Simon and James? And I kind of imagine that you had a very strong idea of what this video wanted to look like. Like you just speak about your hapu being the first to defeat the British Empire in war and incorporating your tapuna as Kawiti's fortification, a Rua Pika Pika, into the video. Like,
yep,
these ideas must, like where did these ideas come from, and then getting them across into the videos, how did that go?
Honestly, it was that video, I had nothing to do with the video, right. Honestly, really? Straight up. Wow. Like I sat and explained to them what the song meant, and then I said, this is what the song means. And I also added that I talked a bit about my ancestor and his ohaki, his dying prophecy that he made, that a time would come when the sandflies would nip at the pages of Te Tiriti, and that's when the people would rise up. And sure enough, all three of them are nipping in our unholy trinity in Parliament right now. But I just talked to them about what the song meant, and then talked, I think, about the role that Kaitiaki played, that, you know, Kawiti's masterpiece pa was Rua Pika Pika, Bat's Nest, and that it was based on purutuna, which are the banks in the side of rivers that tuna or freshwater eels make to protect themselves. So I guess I wanted them to see that connection with nature. But other than that, I had nothing to do with the video. Oh, yeah. I just said, you interpret it the way you want. I did want Pariti to be part of, because I'm working with an animator, I'm calling him an anime tohunga, Simon Ward, and then an artist, Pariti, James Pariti. And because I'd worked so long with James, it felt like, you know, he's as much of the project as I am, and that's not just the project, the music, it's also the course and the artwork. He was doing the artwork for my courses before I'd even started Mokotron. So that was the one decision I made, is I want the first video to be Pariti and Simon Ward, and I gave them the idea of what the song's about, but I said, you do whatever the hell you want.
Wow.
And you decide the aesthetics, and they just did their thing. And about halfway through, they sent a demo of half the video and said, can you give us feedback? And I was like, no, like, you are both more committed and talented artists than I am. Like, that's your life. I'm actually a teacher and I do a bit of music. You guys are, you know, creative geniuses. So you've done something that I never could have even imagined. So no, I'm not going to give you feedback. The only feedback I gave on the video at the end was, can you hold the last shot for 2 seconds? Because it's so powerful. That's the only input I had in the video. I said, can you just hold that last shot? Because it's so amazing. Other than that, it might look like I had something to do with it, but I didn't. Yeah,
right,
and that's just what happens when you bring in artists who are actually better at what they do than you are. So
as you can trust. Yeah, that last frame where you've got Queen Victoria leaving and Mokotron kind of rising up behind the people.
Yeah, homie just had that whole pause. He just had a moving still of that for 1 second. I was like, no, that's the money shot.
Yeah.
Just hold that for at least 2 more seconds. That's the only input I had in the video. The crazy thing is there's like a bootleg version. And because, you know,
video.
Well, Simon started a different project where he thought it was going to be like a 3D render, which looks like, you know, Transformer movies.
Right.
So, and then they decided to go down this kind of black and white line art, which is so iconic. He showed me some stills of what he did first, and it's just like a real life Mokotron. So
wow.
I hope that somehow sees the light of day.
3D printed.
It's 3D rendered, so you could actually print it. So yeah.
You touched on kind of the current state of affairs. Like, there's some pretty heavy wairua and kind of bullshit going on with this new government. And how does it feel releasing art in these harder times with, like, an increased attack on just being Māori?
Same old. To same be old, honest, right? I'm old enough. I've been through the cycles. You know, I remember the last big cycle we had in 2004 and what we had in the late 90s when National were trying to reclaim government. I mean, you know, the Pākehā giveth and the Pākehā taketh away. And what we have to do is, you know, understand that we will always have these cycles. In 10 or 20 years, we'll go through the same thing again. Yeah. What we got to do is not keep focusing all our energy on attacking and responding to those things and actually spend our time building independent projects and movements and institutions that mean that in those down times we're looking after our kids, we're looking after our elders. So, you know, it's sad to see, but so much of what they're taking away are the crumbs that were thrown off the Labor government's table, to be honest. And it's like the movements that make a difference aren't these little stupid government initiatives. They're kohanga reo, they're kura kaupapa, kura reo, whare wānanga, Māori studies departments. Those institutions are the ones that save lives, you know, Waipareira, you know, groups like that. So for me, it's like we've had 20 years of the government chucking us, entertaining little crumbs, and we've forgotten that the way you change the lives of our community is not through these little crumbs. It's, you know, independently building our own independent movements that are self-sustaining. So, I mean, we're already seeing it, the mass mobilisation, not just of protests, but also of people saying, now is the time to start a movement that will carry us through the next cycle of 20 years. So am I worried? No, I know the strength of our people, you know, and I know that actually the ride's been a bit too easy, to be honest, and it's good for us to remember that none of these good things came from government intervention. They came from predominantly aunties, you know, and we have to go back to those aunties now and say, hey, what do we do for this time?
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I guess release dates are coming out in December. You've got some beautiful merch that you've done with it that's coming, that you just dropped off the large shoot for me. Thank you very, very much. How would you, I know this kind of counteracts what you said before, how would you like people to interface with your record or listen to it, or is it up to them, or is there any, how do you want people to interact with your record?
Oh, I think it's up to them, hey. Yeah. I mean, while I do write for myself, it does seem that it does move people. It speaks to something that nothing else does, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, I leave it to them. I mean, a lot of what I'm writing is made for a dance floor, but it's not just for the dance floor. I guess it's up to them. Yeah, people do seem to be, it gets them somewhere. There's an energy there that they don't hear elsewhere. So, you know, while I might write it for myself, I hope that there's maybe one or two humans out there who also enjoy it.
More than one or two.
Yeah, I mean, three or four now. It's getting a bit busier.
Yeah,
I have to start using more than one hand soon. But I think there's just people are going through a lot, you know, and they need to hear something that is speaking truths and speaking ancestral truths and reaching into spiritual places, particularly for those of us who aren't, you know, who are in the city,
urban.
You know, music is healing and club spaces and dance places are places of unity and healing. So, you know, it makes sense for some people. So hopefully they get to hear it on the dance floor, but
I could keep talking to you for hours and hours, but I guess maybe to end on, like, what's coming up. You mentioned there might be a little remix record, or is that there? But, I can't say that. But so 5th of December.
We've got two more videos to release. Don't try and buy the merch. It's sold out. It's all gone.
Well done.
And I think you're the first one to get one. Because you got it hand-delivered. But no, that's all gone. But no, we've got two more videos to drop after this. I just want to get the album out and start on some new stuff as well.
Any final words before we go and listen to Ōhaki, the BFM number one, by the way, on the top 10?
I didn't even have to beg my whānau to vote this time. I was just,
voted.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm probably not allowed.
I think I'm really excited that I've been pushing people to start writing Māori electronic music, and we're right on the cusp. Obviously, I've got an album coming out with 3 videos, final release, digital release, merch release. That's cool. But the first EP not by me is now getting released. So Netana Productions from the iwi of Te Rorowa in the north, they've just finished their first EP of Māori electronic music. They're a far better producer than me. And I mean, they did that blazing Jump Up remix of Guiding Star on the remix album.
Yeah,
but they've just got their EP mastered. They've just got the artwork done. I had to like help them proofread their like press release, and it'll be coming your way quite soon. But it just feels like it's one thing to try and push for Māori electronic music, but just know that it's happening now, that we're getting releases is really exciting for me. That's my movement. That's how I've looked at all this government activity. I've said, well, music is a way of reaching people. I'm going to start putting my time, energy and resources into actually promoting all these other people around me. So that for me is really exciting.
Ka pai, wicked. Yeah. There's a bit of love coming from all around the motu for you, from Otatahi, from here in Tamaki and things like that. So lots of love here on V for you. We're going to listen to this beautiful track, Ōhaki. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Whenua ngā